mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 412. I'm Adam and Lord Nymon. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Weakling scum!
I like that one. Debbie Melrose.
Shush, you just hold the gun steady. Don't tax your mind.
And Mary Lang.
People often don't know what you're talking about.
How dare you?
Very
it's because I constantly get interrupted, that's why. Yes, we've finally returned for episode 412 to review The Horns of Nymon. And so that's what we're going to do.
If someone else had taken Weakling Scum, I was going to do, you fools, you are all doomed.
There's a couple of really, a couple of really good long ones that.
Kirby, isn't it?
That I can't remember. So, if Robin Flux is watching, apologies for the background. I have, as we get closer to FantasyCon, the more stuff is starting to appear in my office in relation to the convention. Not necessarily the Walkers of Salt and Vigor crisps behind me there. They're just there for because I like them.
Aesthetics.
So, no, they're there because I like them. and I like having Walkers crisps on tap. Under my desk here, I've got these on tap. These are absolutely wonderful. I'll just show the viewers. They're Cadbury's Twirl Bars. They're on tap. Unfortunately, I'm not eating them straight out of the box at the moment because it's so hot. I've got about 5 bars in the freezer. I can tell you, I can recommend that Twirl Bars are fantastic when you eat them out of the freezer. So let's get on with Morns of Hymon. Nope, it's all gone quiet. Very unusual.
I just wonder how you get in and out of your front door with all that stuff there.
I thought you were going to say, I wonder how you get in and out of my front door being so fat, which I would have thought would be quite a personal thing to say. But then, of course, Mary never does stuff like that. Mary's kind. And Lillian Robin, after saying hi, right, point deducted for Debbie for interrupting the feedback that we've actually
I was going to say, Isla thinks your house is pretty cool.
Well, it is. She's right there. All right. No points deducted. Salvaged by Isla. Lillian Robin then says hi, and then she says, is that a wand? I'll do up my flies for you, Lillian. I do apologise. Unless, of course, you're referring to my elder wand, which I generally have while doing the show, to point at things and basically conduct the podcast. It's very useful.
It's like a hole getting very much.
And of course, the good thing about having this elder wand, if it ever sort of wears out, I've got behind me Voldemort's wand somewhere back there. And did I tell you about the story before we get on with a fantasy con, Debbie, of when I went down to visit the lady at the movie store in Cowes?
No.
I went down to visit the lady in the movie store in Cowes to give her a new set of leaflets. Behind me, viewers can see part of the board that you were talking about, the A board, with the comic advert on it. Yeah, the new leaflets have that comic advert on it, and I delivered some there. And she said, "Oh, he've got Goyle from Harry Potter. You can buy some wands. I've got Goyle's wand here and there." I said, "Oh, yeah, that's lovely. That's fine. Okay, and then." Thanks for taking the leaflet. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
So what if you got Goyle's wand, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to be part of this. So
why would she randomly get Goyle's wand in? Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? Right. You wouldn't normally stock it. I know, I'm going to pop into that movie shop in Cowes where I can buy Gregory Goyle from Harry Potter's wand. It sounds a bit odd to me. I'm a bit suspicious. Right then. Anyway, thought you'd enjoy that story.
Master?
Oh, God, here we go. I haven't even started.
No. You also need to relate your tale of your fez. That was so cool.
Oh, the fez. Right, okay, right.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay, I'll let you off that one because I'll probably forget later on. Right, okay. The Isle of Wight Festival, of which we go to every year, has been documented throughout the history of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast that we go to the Isle of Wight Festival every year. Now, and also, I may have mentioned in the past that I've been a fan of Madness since I was at school, which is like 40 years. Madness have done a few festivals and a few concerts on the Isle of Wight, so we were quite keen to go and watch Madness on the Sunday. On the Saturday, sorry, not the Sunday. Or was it the Saturday? Deb, help me out.
It was a Sunday.
It was a Sunday, yeah, thank you very much. Right. So We arrive at the festival site, get right to the front where we watched Bjorn again. And when Bjorn again finished, I thought, oh, I better go and give me Fez, because we looked at the Fezes in the merchandise shop. They're red with Madness logo on the front of them. So I did have a Fez with the Madness logo, which is probably upstairs in the attic. So I had it in my room for ages. You may even remember it. So I bought this Fez and went down to the front and waited for all the acts until Madness came on. When Madness came on, Lee Kicks Thompson, who is the well-known saxophonist of the band, and if you know the song It Must Be Love, which is quite a famous song by Madness, obviously he plays the saxophone on that. Anyway, he clocked me wearing the fez at the front, and he pointed at me and said, can I borrow that? And so I just passed it over to him, put it on his head, and they played about half the performance wearing the fez, and then he called to somebody off stage for a pen, he signed it, and then bought it back, and I'll put it in my bag, and then eventually I put it back on my head, because they were bouncing these big beach balls around the arena sort of place, and they were covered in mud, and one hit me on the head while I was wearing the fez. I wasn't particularly pleased with this. Bit of mud on the fez. Anyway, so that's the story. But somebody came, oh, why did he give it to you? I said, because it was my blimmin' fez.
Yeah.
Why did he give it to you? Anyway.
How did you get it?
Sadly, some people saw, I think Alicia or somebody saw, no, Isabella saw him give the fez back to me on the big screen, but when it was on the telly, none of that was on the telly, apart from obviously him wearing it. So there's no sort of photographic or video documentation of this happening, but obviously we know it happened. And of course then the little girl next to me, Suggs, came down and had a conversation with her, and that did go on the telly, and we're on that actually. Anyway, shall I move on?
That's interesting.
I did get my FantasyCon t-shirt out on the Saturday. That went out live on the telly. But I was like sort of stripping down to be Superman or something.
The way you were quickly opening.
I'm on live on telly. Quick, let's get the logo out.
Quick, get it out. There's Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, t-shirt.
Yeah. So yeah. Sadly, the Americans don't get Sky Arts and won't be able to watch any of the Isle of Wight Festival and catch up. I've got most of them stored on my Sky Q box. So there are bits of video.
Well, you need to export them to and then put them someplace.
No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't export from the Sky Q box, I'm afraid. You can film the telly with your phone. That's about the best you can do with it, really.
That's about it. Yeah.
Which isn't bad, actually, considering. Anyway, right, so we get this really... We're talking like Horns and I'm on now. This really weird-shaped model spaceship.
Oh, we're starting?
You can see that the budget's run out a little bit on this particular model. Yeah.
It's a bit Lego, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a bit weird. And then you get this a couple of crew members of this spaceship.
Let's not go faster.
Yeah, very bashed up.
Let's go faster.
Very odd uniforms and very bashed up sort of bridge, I suppose you'd call it. One of the blokes is particularly leery, and the other one's particularly posh. Anyway, they have this, like you say, this discussion. Of, we can. This is our last mission. We could,
Let's go a bit faster.
The computer apparently won't take it. Not the engines. It's the computer that won't take it, says the other boat. And then, of course, the other chap, oh, you better go and check the cargo. And, of course, the cargo is Sophie Ellis Bextor's.
Weakling scum.
Sophie Ellis Bextor's mum and some other people. And they're all carrying
it.
I wanted to point out the triangular shaped scenery of the door and everything, which is a constant reoccurring piece of scenery in this era of Doctor Who and Blake 7, funny enough. So keep your eye out for that one. It's already been in several stories. I'm just highlighting it again because it does appear in a lot of Davison stories as well. But anyway, what?
I said, yes, it does.
Oh, but Kirby said something.
I like that set with the doors.
You don't like that set with the doors?
All the clank, clank, clank with those flooring things.
Clank, clank, clank with the flooring
metal,
things.
Metal grating.
Metal grates.
Yeah, grating, yeah.
And that they put the two control places, the pilot seats, on springs. The whole set.
It makes it easier to be dramatically bouncing around when it's going
on. Yeah.
Okay, well, before we move on, Matthew Kressel has just joined, and we can tell Matthew that VJ's a perfectly legitimate member of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast community, and her post was not spam. Was it, Kirby?
It was not spam.
No. Poor VJ, she's never going to come back.
If Matthew can watch, why can't he join us?
Yeah, anyway, I'm sure he won't bother telling us that one. Yes, we're going to see Vijay on Tuesday, Debbie. Tuesday, it's the site visit to Cowes Enterprise College. Oh, I can't make it that night. Well, you're coming anyway. All right, can we get back to the episode now? Good. Right, yeah. So yeah, we see Janet Ellis, as in Sophie Ellis, blessed as mum, the woman from Blue Peter. And Robert sent me some links to some Blue Peter clips that I haven't had time to watch as well. I'd just like to point out, that's Robert. Robert.
Ames.
Oh, Robert who?
Ames.
Robert who? He sent me some clips. So we'll watch them. Yeah, well, did he send you the clips?
He'd sent the link to us all, didn't he? But I see.
So basically, to make sure he didn't send it to the wrong person, he sent it to everybody. Anyway, the spaceship suffers a bit of turbulence, and everybody's sort of cameras are wobbling, and the set's literally wobbling.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
And then the TARDIS sort of comes in on the scene. There's no stars in the background, obviously, because they're in a weird part of space. And the Doctor, I think, does something to stop the ship from wobbling. And nearly crashes into it, and then opens up this. Oh yeah, K-9's head gets sort of turned upside down, a bit weird.
Master.
K-9. Yes.
I have an answer to a question we had. I think it may have been last time or the time before.
Mm.
During the commentary for this story.
Yeah.
Lala Ward actually says David Brierley's name. It's Brierley. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay,
right,
thank you.
Right, there you go, Brian.
So we wasted 30 seconds of the show just to get that correction in. Thank you very much. Anyway, so the T9's head gets rotated back to normal. A few explosions go off into the TARDIS. I've just seen a moth. Where's my zapper's gone? My fly zapper's gone.
Honestly.
What?
There's nothing wrong with moths.
Tiny, tiny moths, are they? Chew your clothes. Thank you very much. So there's everything wrong with those little tiny ones. It's the nice, pretty ones. No,
moths do not survive in this house because of cats.
What's that got to do with this one buzzing here, which I shall zap for the first.
Get a cat.
Yeah, no.
Dogs are rubbish at going after moths.
Yeah.
Yes, terrific. Okay.
Anyway, so like I say, there's a bit of a crash. The pilot dies. Mr. Grumpy doesn't. So he carries on.
And then
we meet, is it Soldeed, the scenery chewing baddie of the story?
he reminds me of that, Jonathan, I can't remember his last name, from Curse of the Fatal Death.
I think that's who he was channeling. Jonathan Price, is it? Jonathan Price? Debbie will know.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. So Debbie won't know. Yeah, I do love his staff. I think it's a really cool staff, that. I don't see anyone that thinks that. Anyway, he walks down the set, chews a bit of scenery,
he's dramatically brilliant.
DVD is old enough that he was still alive when they were doing the commentary, so he joins them on the commentary.
Is he? He doesn't often remind me of Peter Capaldi.
He's still alive. Okay.
Yeah, what was he in? He was in some other famous BBC program, wasn't it? Comedy series, I think.
Well, he's definitely in Hitchhiker's Guide.
That's not what I was asking.
Saying he's the waiter at the other end of the universe.
Yeah, okay, so he may well be. What I'm asking is, I'm sure he was in a famous BBC TV comedy series.
I can't for the life of me remember. Yeah, I'll have a look.
Fair enough.
Very Peculiar Practice.
That's the one. That's the one. Wasn't that the one Peter Davison was in?
Yes.
There we go. Do I get a point for that?
Ding.
Yes.
Anyway, so the TARDIS arrives at the spaceship. Instead of going in it, they beam out this really clever little corridor thing. So they basically go down the corridor and go in through the door, which is quite a clever idea. I think they've used a similar thing.
Seen that in Potter here.
Yes. But obviously the Doctor doesn't do a strange dance while walking down it in Modern Who. Anyway, so they go on the spaceship and they meet the... Now, the lighting's a bit different here, because when we had the Mr. I know the ships crash and that. The dark lighting suits the scenery much better for me, as the Doctor and Romana meet Janet Fielding. Janet Ellis. Now, she's obviously besotted with the
Seth,
the Luke Skywalker type character, who really isn't that interested in being a big superhero, but she's trying to trying to coerce him into being one. She's totally
going to save us all, aren't you, 30 year
old? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
after me, aren't you?
And then obviously Mr. Grumpy comes out and points a gun at the Doctor, and the Doctor immediately thinks that he's not one of this car crew. You know, he takes him on straight away. You know, doesn't have any doubt that he's, you know, somebody clever, should we say. He's not a weakling scum. Okay. I can't believe I'm getting to say so much without any interruptions at the moment. Pardon, Kirby?
I'm looking something up. Debbie?
Yeah?
Garkbit the waiter was played by Anthony Sharp.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'm sure he's in it, though. Oh, no, he's in the radio one.
No.
I'm sure it's him.
In the radio one, he's played by Anthony Sharp. In the television series, he's Jack May, who was in Star Wars.
Fair enough. I stand corrected, but I thought he's just one of those very, very...
Well, yeah, I see how he resembles Anthony Sharp.
Riveting. Can I get on? Right.
It's being corrected.
So Mr. Grumpy asks the Doctor if he can fix the spaceship, and there's a bit of a sort of...
I like the bit with Romana's screwdriver. That's quite
funny. Yeah. I completely forgot about that one. That's a really good scene. Not lipstick. Not lipstick, funny enough. There's a scene in which Romana goes up the ladder and the Doctor looks up at her dress, which is quite funny. And then, of course, there's a scene also in which
he was trying valiantly to not look up the dress.
No, yes. I don't think he was, actually.
I like her outfit in this much better than in the last...
I like this one.
Typical women to buddy observe.
The sack she wore in the last one.
Romana's outfit.
Oh, in the commentary, they had Janet Ellis and Lala Ward. And things got a little tense because Janet Ellis actually asked Lala Ward about her marriage to Tom.
Uh-oh.
And you could tell Lala got a bit tense.
Why? What really happened? I really don't know much
Not
about.
Now.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. We all want to know.
No, we don't. Otherwise, this is going to go on for blimmin' ages. Right, I'm going to save that thought.
Do the research after we're done.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Trusting you.
Anyway, all right. So K-9 ends up covered in some sort of multicolored red, white, and blue ticker tape. And the Doctor...
He's trying to fix the TARDIS.
The Doctor and Romana carry this strange little ball around, which is supposed to be some piece of kit or something or other. And then, of course, when Mr. Grumpy gets the opportunity, he switches... Of course, I forgot to mention this. The spaceship is turning into a black hole. Its gravity is getting heavier and heavier. But at the end of the episode, Mr. Grumpy switches it. So as a TARDIS becomes the potential black hole. And
Master, negative.
Oh, God. What?
Neither ship becomes the black hole. They're being drawn towards the black hole. The black hole is the singularity... exists there as the Nymon's transportation device, and they just have to be close to it.
Yeah, but he switches a switch, and then the TARDIS becomes caught in it.
No, he gets away from it because of what the Doctor has done to get them away from it. And then he was going to go with the ship, but Mr. Grumpy Pants decided to leave without the Doctor.
Okay, I'll accept that explanation. It's fair enough. I'd like to get you involved in the show, as you well know. What I did find a bit confusing is why, when the ship got away, there was a few brown pom-poms stuck to the side of the TARDIS. That was a bit weird. I thought they were tribbles at one point. What?
I forget what those were supposed to be. They were discussing them during the commentary, but they were all talking over each other.
Yeah, reminded me of the trouble with tribbles.
Thank you, Mary. She agrees with me. Oh, I missed the bell, so you don't get the point. Then at the end of the episode, we sort of meet Lord Nymon, or A. Nymon. I presume it's Lord Nymon. I did notice that his voice, the ring modulator they use for his voice, is very similar to that of the prawn what was that one that K-9 was first in? What was that one called? I keep getting confused with these titles of stories. No, Invasion of Time, was it? No, it wasn't that one.
Remember.
The first story that K-9 was in. The
Invisible
Prawn was
Enemy.
It. What? The invisible enemy. But the ring modulator they used for... I think, did you say John Leeson did the voice of the prawn?
No, I said Invisible Enemy was the story name that you were trying to
find. Thank you for that.
But I have to look up who did the voice of the prawn.
What? I thought somebody told me that John Leeson did the voice of the prawn.
Possibly. I can look it up.
Oh, good Lord. Anyway, yeah, but it was a ring modulator that sounded very similar. So many very similar voice. Anyway, so episode two is a very long recall.
Every episode starts with a very long recall.
And then we are just Soldeed and Nymon. I'm going to have to kill that. Is it a fly? Can I have my zapper? Keeps flying across in front of my eyes. Yes, I tell you what, the Nymon, I'm not sure whether I like the costume or not. It looks like a sort of the head of a rat with horns to me, but sort of angled silly. Anyway, right. So the
I don't know who did the voice of the prawn. The person inside the prawn was John Scott Martin.
Yeah, I thought it would be. He was inside of a lot of the small characters, small baddies, wasn't he? Anyway, so eventually I read
that the original Nymon was supposed to be, the design was supposed to be actual like people all in black with really awful faces, and that they put that big head on for different reasons to scare people and all that, because they think of themselves as so ugly. But then that was going to be too expensive, so they just went ahead with that one design that they used for the heads all the time.
Okay.
Instead of making them removable.
In the commentary, Tony Reed, the author and one-time script editor, said that he kind of liked the heads.
Okay. Anyway, these sort of cargo, they were bringing, what was it, a trophy or something like that to the Nymon.
It's power for the power complex.
Yeah, but they was called a funny name, wasn't it? Like a gift or a trophy, or I can't remember what it has.
They are tributes.
Tributes. That's the word. Yeah. Yes.
Ding.
No.
no.
And so lots of conversations. The Doctor spends most of this episode trying to fix the TARDIS, and the worst part of it, of course, is I'm going to play it. Here it comes, this bit here. I'm going to just whack the volume up. Here we go. Oh, it didn't work. I'll try it again. Sorry. Right, here we go. Pause. Volume up. I know how to do this podcasting stuff. This.
Come on, old girl.
Master?
That's very odd.
I didn't like that.
Master?
Yes?
And I was actually going to bring that up. Because during the latter years of the Goon Show, the effects were done by the Radiophonic Workshop.
Yes.
And it was one of the people who did Goon Show effects decided that it was appropriate there to basically recycle Goon Show noises.
Okay, thank you for that. Doesn't make it any better. That irritated me. I seem to remember. I'd forgotten all about it until I watched the episode again. So Romana has now been obviously brought to Soldeed, and the fat bloke is trying to sort of say how wonderful he is. He's captured all these things.
That's
he's
what I did. I've managed to fix the computer. Yes. You did it all.
And of course, you know what's coming up. He's going to end up thrown down the pit of Nymon. And the funny thing is, when we eventually come to watching the what's that one with H.G. Wells in the Sixth Doctor story, Timelash. It's a very similar thing, isn't it? They end up thrown down a pit of.
They end up being thrown down pits all the time.
Oh, yes. There's a theme this series.
Pits. I haven't seen Time Lash, so don't spoil it.
It's not... Oh, yeah. That doesn't spoil it at all. It's just that there is a similarity.
Then, you can't spoil Time Lash.
Hey, enough of that, Mary. Careful.
After Soldeed kicks the co-pilot through the little barrier, the co-pilot's feet are still visible.
Oh, are they? I didn't see that. Anyway, there's another scene. I love the corridors with these sort of X-y sort of you know, the triangles, the yellow and brown sort of, well, they look like yellow and brown triangles are really quite cool. And there was a scene where Janet Ellis was in at one side of the thing and Seth or whatever his name is around the other side and the door shut and they were sort of lost to each other by this door. And I quite like that little scene.
Seth is a corruption of Theseus.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for your cleverness. Yes. Okay. So the target, Dr.
Fine. I also read, Hilda, about those moving walls.
Oh, yes.
Is that because they couldn't do it in terms of like CGI or anything.
That's what she said.
That they had to have crews at the ready for the moment that the camera would pan away, like Tom Baker would be looking away, that the crew would have to run up and turn those walls around. So that when the doctor turned back or anybody turned back, then it would look different. It's kind of cool to know that they were doing that.
Yes. Meanwhile, the doctor fixes the TARDIS enough that it can materialize in the inner sanctum of Sol Deep. And we have the typical introduction of, obviously, Doctor and Paddy. Yeah. And meanwhile, the Romana and a little band of Blue Peter presenters wander around the the inner sanctum of Nymon's sort of area, and they come across this sort of looks like a mummy, really, isn't it? In a sort of yellowy golden.
Are you my
pot.
Mummy?
And I do quite like the scene. Obviously, somebody had to touch it, and it just collapses, and they did that much better than the version they previously did it in the Claws of Axos when they had the tramp and they touched the tramp and his face collapsed. It was done much better.
This had a balloon underneath, and when they touched it, someone poked a pin in it.
Yeah, cool. It worked really, really well, didn't it, Kirby?
That was according to Janet Ellis.
It's still cool. Moving on. I did like, you know, the set where Sol Deed had his chair, well, it's like a throne, I suppose, had this sort of like a spider's web sort of design behind him. That was really quite cool. I don't think it actually was a spider's web, but just that's what it reminded me of. Okay, fine. Well, I thought it was good. And
It was good.
Oh, thank you very much.
We agree.
Not getting any points from that.
Yeah.
And of course,
we don't disagree vocally. We agree.
The doctor finds, you know, that little round gadget, you know, that little ground gadget I referred to earlier that Romana had. The doctor finds it in Sol Deed's office, and he's a bit sort of, oh, so you haven't met Romana, but you've got something that she had in your office, sort of thing, you know, because he's denying knowledge of Romana. And that's right. And then the doctor gets sort of. Well, he jumps literally down the pit, doesn't he? More or less. He didn't get shot down. He literally jumps. Again, that scene reminded me slightly of the Pirate Planet when he sort of jumps. I know it wasn't really him. And he didn't go, But there you go. He starts poking around the corridors and bumps into nobody. And the next scene is Romana and her band of Blue Peter presenters suddenly landing in the Ark and finding all the people waiting to be woken up in the Ark.
I was wondering if that was the same little molded things.
I would guess they probably were.
I was wondering too.
But there was also a harking to Tomb of the Cybermen as well, with this, the way they had that set up.
So,
if you have to be long-term listeners to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast and have been on the journey with us for as many years to know what we're talking about regarding the Tomb of the Cybermen. Anyway, it doesn't fit these bodies as well as it did fit the bodies in Ark in space. Meanwhile, while they're having a poke around these sort of, it's like a larder, isn't it? It's Nymon's larder of future meals.
Yes, that's what Romana calls it.
Yeah, and then Mr. Grumpy turns up with his gun.
Just before he rips his pants.
Thank you for that. So he gets all grumpy, and then Nymon turns up, and he says, "Look what I've done for you, Nymon." But Nymon says, "Oh, shut up," and kills him, essentially.
and that's when you see the ripped pants.
Oh, is it? But, yeah, he kills him, but then Nymon turns to Romana and the Blue Peter presenters as if he's going to kill him, but the next scene, the next episode, the Doctor interrupts it, which was a bit weird.
Distracts the Nymon.
Yeah, but it didn't quite work in the way we watched it, because It was obviously shot slightly differently, etc. And a very long pullback. It was like 2.5 to 3 minutes before, you know, we actually rejoin the action. So
yeah, all three story episodes have the very long.
Yeah, I think they perhaps should have made it a three-parter. Perhaps. Lillian Robbins says Soldeed's sidekicks costumes shoulders are based on the Sydney Opera House. Are they? Is that true?
Yeah, I believe I read that.
Oh, cool. Anyway, so Nymon sort of just mooches around the place being all sort of scary and accepts the little trophies or whatever they want to call them. What are they called again?
I forget.
Because there was an issue with it. Soldeed had that wasn't enough of them. But Norman takes the five and says, right, you can pop into the larder. I'll eat you later. Meanwhile, the Doctor sort of rejoins Romana and a couple of the Blue Peter presenters. While the other Blue Peter presenters are being sort of looked after by Nymon. And there's sort of people walking around corridors and planning things and stuff. So I'm just smooching forward because there's really not much going on here. I don't apologize. Apart from obviously when Soldeed and meets K-9 and is a bit mean to him.
But I love it when they're trying to open the TARDIS and Soldeed hits the TARDIS and the door opens.
You're right.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle, yes.
Yes. Anyway, so I'm just skipping forward. Oh, yeah, and then we have that scene I talked about earlier where Seth has got a gun now, and, of course, Janet Ellis convinces him, you will kill the Nymon, won't you? Yeah. She's a bit, what's the word for it? Controlling.
Isn't she?
She's what you would call.
I think we all need someone like her, you know, to follow us around and, you know, really make us live up to our
potential.
Can't
be bothered to do it yourself, so just get old poor old Seth to do it.
You will do this. You will do that.
Yeah, I think it's what you would call a high maintenance girlfriend.
Okay.
Wouldn't you agree? Hello? Yeah. Anybody there?
Yeah.
What you would call a high maintenance girlfriend?
Seth was pretending to be a prince when he really wasn't.
Doesn't matter.
She thought he was.
So you're saying Luke Skywalker was pretending not to be a prince when he was?
By the way, Simon Gibbs Kent, who played Seth, died young at 28.
Oh, God.
A misadventure with morphine, wasn't it?
I was about to say exactly that. A misadventure with morphine poisoning.
Dear.
Okay.
On a positive note, let's get back to the episode. Obviously, because I was just about to, not knowing that, I was going to say, well, obviously, he wasn't Sophie Ellis-Bextor's dad, because it was never going to work, Janet Ellis and him. Anyway, the other Nymons suddenly turn up, and they all get very fierce, pointing their sort of horns at everybody. I think there's only three of them, but I think they try and give the impression there's more. And
you notice they all walk around wishing everyone live long and prosper?
I didn't notice that, actually, Debbie. Debbie? Kirby? Anyway, so I'm moving on. The end of episode 3, the Doctor is sort of trying to, you know, set up the equipment to do what he wants to do. Soldeed comes out with his staff and fires at it and blows it up and
Doesn't the Doctor in this episode send Romana off the thing? Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what happens. I think he goes, Romana. Not quite, not as sort of worried, not that worried about the situation, just Romana.
Yeah, but that's a good ending of an episode, because we do wonder, did she actually get sent back or not?
You know? Well, we know she didn't, because she leaves in... nearly a spoiler there, wasn't it? Seth shoots Soldeed with his staff, and of course that really pleases Janet Ellis. So he's one up for old Seth there. And the Doctor sets about fixing the kit, and then Romana meets a strange sort of elderly gentleman who's been hanging around apparently since the last Nymon invasion.
He's basically Soldeed's counterpart on this planet.
Yeah.
But he's a bit nicer.
Krynoth, isn't it? Krynoth, the planet they're on.
Yes.
He's a bit nicer than Soldian, isn't he? Although, was he nice at the time?
He learned his lesson. He learned his lesson.
Oh, so he was like Soldian, but he learned...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he's gutted because all his people are dead and there's only him left, and all because of the Nymon. And so... Oh, that's right. And then while guarding the larder, Janet Ellis gets this creepy man coming up to him. Sorry. And it's obviously Soldied who, with an evil smile and a Shakespearean laugh, snatches the gun out of her hand and hands Janet Ellis, or tries to hand Janet Ellis to the Nymon. And then some more Nymon arrive, essentially the same.
I love his face when he sees that there's three.
And one of the peripheral characters comes in to see K-9, and then it says, "Oh, test, show me your power." And K-9 just gives him a gentle blast in the chest, makes him go, "Ow!" And and then they sort of just sort scenes of Nymon creeping around corridors and Romana keeping friends with this new elderly chap, and then elderly chap takes a bit of a blast and so go on without me sort of thing.
Oh, no.
And then there's a big battle at the end, and
but she does learn that hunk of rock will make the staff work more deadly.
Oh, and so sorry, takes, there's a it's takes, a bit of a battle
she
at
takes
the end
hunk back with and gives it to Seth.
Oh, okay. There's a bit of a battle at the end, and the doctor sort of makes K-9 look at the bally thing with his little sort of suction pad, and then there's a big theatrical ending for Soldier.
Oh my gosh!
And then I think they
gets the award for the most dramatic death.
by the way, he confirmed in the commentary that he thought that was a dress rehearsal.
Oh,
he did intend to laugh.
<That's right. laughs> and then, of course, there's a big the scene where the resolution, which I drifted during this point, they go chasing after Nymon, and there's a big bang. We better get out of here. Hell, place is going to go up with Nymon and everything. So I think they just about get away in time. And, the ship sails away. TARDIS sails away.
Yeah, as slow as they're all moving, it's hard to imagine they got far enough away from an explosion that all-encompassing.
Well, it is a time machine. It is a science fiction fantasy TV show.
Oh,
fantasy. Fantasy Con.
I'm not there sure about the episode.
Yeah.
Yes, the full name of Fantasy Con is Science Fiction Fantasy Con TV show.
I did like the Dr. Romana's last exchange where the doctor says, "Well, come on, old girl. There's quite a few millennia left in you yet." And Romana says, "Thank you, doctor."
Well, thank you, doctor.
He's talking about the TARDIS.
Yeah. That's talking to you.
Well, during that scene, K-9 is sort of covered in some sort of strange disco-lighted sort of tubes things, which is a bit weird as well.
This is the last time we have to hear David Brierley.
Yes, mm-hmm. Indeed.
Because they for the version we're going to be watching.
Yes,
of
it's,
Shatner,
it's
they got John Leeson
future
back.
Friend of the show, John Leeson. Yeah.
Future friend of the show, like that. Hopefully.
The Horns of Nymon. Now, okay, it's quite clear and plain to see that it's not particularly good, but it has a charm to it, shall we say?
A certain charm.
The charm being the obviously scenery chewing of Soldier, and the fact we get Janet Ellis in it, but not much else to be fair. It's okay. I mean, I seem to remember watching it after Grandstand when it was on and not being particularly bored by it. But it's not as good as the last story, and you can tell that by the fact they've had to have so many long recalls. So we've probably had about good 10 minutes of recall at the beginning of episode 2, 3, and 4. So they were struggling to make this into a long enough story. And I think when they got to do that, then we don't get a particularly good story. They've sort of, I think they, you know, they should have gone back to the days when they had they'd have a 6-part ending story. It was Shada, but they should have made it a 2-parter. Really, one. I think it might have been better as a 2-parter, but it has its place in Doctor Who history. It wouldn't be without it. But for me, it's not really very good. It didn't really keep me engaged. I actually drifted towards the end of the last episode, which is the episode you're supposed to be most engaged with, to be fair.
Usually are in Doctor Who, that's the thing. Mm. Usually it all just comes together really quickly, but
For me, it wasn't that good, but it was, I still like it. But
Adam, you saw it when it was first broadcast, right?
Yeah.
Now, what I've read is that people who, you know, are adults now but were kids at the time were actually very excited about this particular story that really scared them and all that.
Oh, yeah, certainly as a child, there were scary elements to it.
Did it really work on you, too, at the time?
Probably found it a bit creepy. I wouldn't say I didn't agree. At the time, I probably would have watched it and quite enjoyed it as a story and then thought, well, I don't ever have to watch that one again, do I?
I'm not even allowed to mention the word Vashti Narada because I started Isla on that one. I'm not even allowed to mention it. She's terrifying.
They are scary.
It was okay. It was just, there's a lot wrong with it.
Well, Deborah, have you talked to your dad at all about these classic episodes?
No, I was going to, but we haven't really caught up this week. We meant to, because I do try and talk to him about them. But he keeps saying, oh, yeah, well, I'll talk about it. And then we go off talking about something else, or Isla comes on, and that's it. We don't really get to catch up about them. But this is the time.
We all look back on it as being like a low point, but it sounds like the people at the time, and this would include your dad.
Yeah.
Really liked it. So.
Yeah, the Tom Baker era, Second Romana, it was dad's.
Doctor Who had a following, didn't it?
So, yeah.
This is when the show started getting a proper following.
And this is when I was obviously starting to be impressed by Doctor Who because I was so little. But, this was when I was just becoming really conscious of Doctor Who and everything.
But you've got to bear in mind Star Wars was out at this stage. This is when also Star Wars was making this sort of stuff look pants.
This is around, we're getting close to Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, exactly.
At this point.
This is 1979.
Yeah.
So I was nearly two.
But like I say, it didn't matter. It was okay. Right then, Kirby, what did you think?
I guess I like this one better than you. It's so bad it's good.
What? That makes a lot of sense.
It's just a joy to watch, and the overacting is amazing. Did you see the little video I posted on the Facebook page, which you can join? Someone put together a mashup of Graham Crowden and also whoever it was who played the White Witch in the TV version of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe doing overacting.
No, I didn't see that.
It's hilarious. Just take a look at that. It's absolutely hilarious.
You have to I will point this out, you have to be a particularly good actor to be able to overact in that way and pull it off. Just saying.
Yeah, it's just fun to watch him.
It's very pantomimical, isn't it? Is that a word?
I don't know if it's a word.
Word up. Pantomimical. Have you finished, Kirby?
I really like this one.
Okay. Debbie? Rewind. Yes, Kirby.
I can't get to my calendars right now, but as I recall, this is around the time that things were really heating up in the U.S. for us getting Doctor Who on PBS more fairly quickly.
Ooh.
And I believe we saw this on PBS within 2 years of it being
2 years
broadcast, which was amazing. And I remember watching it then, and it didn't bother me. I mean, it was Doctor Who. It was supposed to be somewhat silly.
I don't think it was, to be fair.
It was fun.
You laugh at the 2 years. In the 1980s, I was watching the 1960s versions of EastEnders. You know, so I know that show from way
back. The 1960s versions of EastEnders? What on earth is the 1960s version of EastEnders? Just curious.
I didn't know they started in the 60s.
Well, whenever they started,
that would be 1986, I believe.
Oh, did it start in 1986?
Yeah, I think it was about 1986, yes.
Oh. Well, then so. I've got my times all off, but I know that,
say,
that they were
missed quite a lot, then.
10 years behind in showing the episodes when I started watching it.
Somebody's going to look that up on Wikipedia now. Anyway, sorry, are we moving on to Debbie now?
Don't have to. I wasn't that impressed.
Was this the first time you'd seen it?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately, yeah, not very good, but had potential to have been a really interesting, more interesting version of like Theseus and the Minotaur. It had the potential was there, but unfortunately, it just ended up being let's run through these corridors, let's keep going through these corridors, and
running through corridors.
It was just there wasn't as much substance as I'd hoped there would be in it, really, considering the meat food they had to work with. And they just sort of went, okay, we're just going to blow this up and that's going to end and job done. There wasn't much sort of discussion on why, which there has been in a lot of the previous episodes. You know, Romana's usually arguing for them and the Doctor's arguing against, you know, that sort of thing. And then either one of them will change their mind. But this time it was just, it was almost like they're just going by numbers. Yeah, monster. Yeah, kids in peril. Yeah, canines messed up. Yeah, you know, and it just felt like a Doctor Who by numbers this time. And I just didn't enjoy it as much as I do usually.
Okay.
Canines messed up because his voice is wrong.
There's a bit of that too. Okay.
Yeah,
ready for this, everyone?
Go on.
What do you think about it, Mary?
Well, looking back on it, as we do, it definitely was a low point in the series. And a lot of it is, what I've read, is apparent, or is because this was the end of the season. They had to cancel Shada. And so the whole production crew,
that's a very good point. I've forgotten that.
The showrunner, everybody, you know, was walking out the door at the end of this. So you can see why it was kind of slapdash.
Yeah.
Because everything is going to be new when they start the new season. In the meantime, I mean, this thing can't decide whether it's a comedy or whether it's serious.
Which is most of the series, to be fair. Most of this series.
And the comedy that's in it is so lame. You know, yeah. I didn't find anything very funny, really. That Graham Crowden as Soldeed, yeah. I mean, he's on a scenery-only diet. but it's obvious that he and Tom are having a great time. They're both goofing around and having their fun, you know, regardless of the rest of the story kind of going down.
Oh, yeah, they have a terrific time.
Yeah. Episodes 1 and 2 are so dull. Nothing is happening. It's only episode 3 when anything really starts to pick up and get minimally interesting. But one thing I did like was that, you know, Romana kind of stepped forward. She became the Doctor in this, which was fun to see.
In episode 3, as you say, when she went to the other place, she
Looking after the Blue Peter presenters.
She was looking after, you know, the Blue Peter group, you know, taking charge of them, you know, while Tom Baker was kind of off to the side for most of this, just goofing around either in the TARDIS or with K-9 and generally just kind of being, you know, bumbling comedic character in this. And I have to say, it's really bad when the extras are drawing my attention because they're doing some of the best acting. In the little Blue Peter group, there's a guy with like blonde curls. You should watch him through this. I mean, this guy is acting his socks off through the whole thing. I was always watching him. And then in the army group, there's a guy with a mustache on. He's another one that was like totally there, totally acting, totally in the scene. And so I rather enjoyed watching him rather than what else was going on. So, yeah, it's pretty bad. But again, you know, to go back to what I was saying earlier, the people who watched it at the time were really engaged with it. They liked it. But we look back because we've got the whole thing, you know, the whole bunch of series to watch. And for us, this is pretty pathetic.
Okay. Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. No points deducted there. Right then. Uh-oh.
No, I just thought of something. You know, the your quote, Lord Nymon.
Yeah.
That, if you notice, if you look very closely, the exact same scene from episode one was put in episode four.
Where was
he
it?
Goes down the corridor doing Lord Nymon. They just picked it up and they edited it in episode four. Exactly the same.
It was very the same sort of note of him singing Lord Nymon. And I was like, I just thought that was just his general greeting. I didn't realize they'd done that.
Yep, it's exactly the same.
Not that much attention I was paying.
Oh, sorry, I just knocked me wand against the.
I like this one so much. I watched it four times.
Four times?
How did you?
You must have had a lot of time on your hands.
I like this one. Okay.
Moving on then to feedback. Now, Kirby posted a request for feedback on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. Alan T. Butcher said, do we know whether Sharda is next after this now? That production has been completed on it. That's being silly. Yes, it is. And I'm looking forward to watching that, actually, because I haven't seen it. So that's something I will be watching.
I've not seen this one either.
No. So that's
I've been saving it for this because I've got it. And
absolutely.
I'm
saving
it.
So I'll be able to watch
now,
it with...
As I understand, is it all animated or is
yes,
it...
Yes, it's all animated.
Going back and forth.
All of it.
It's all animated. Yes. So you can't really
I thought they went back and forth between the live action and the
I think, pretty sure it's animated. I don't care either way. I'm just really looking forward to seeing it. And we'll find out, won't we, Debbie? Have you seen it?
Looking forward to it. I haven't seen it. Got a copy.
I hope they haven't hid the DVD, which has been on top of my, or next to my Sky View since it got bought. So, my wand just fell off the desk.
Oh, my God. This is getting ruder and ruder.
Feedback on Horns of Nymon, please. Alan T. Butcher said, Horns of Nymon? Never heard of that. Do you mean the Horns of Nymon?
Horn of Nymon, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kirby Bartlett's own says, Alan T. Butcher, according to the TARDIS wiki, this story had the working title Horns of Nymon minus the.
Yeah, but
Paul
we're
Gobert
not done by the working
says
title.
Feedback sent, so that's a bit of a spoiler. Lillian Robin, silly fun. My dad taught me about all the mythological names when I was little. I like the names here better than the one in Underworld. I love Romana's hunting costume.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's that part of feedback.
That's it?
That pathetic listeners. Pathetic. The ones that provided, not pathetic. The ones that couldn't be bothered, pathetic.
Perhaps it's because we had another 3-week gap.
Well, there's going to be another 3-week gap.
Weakling scum.
Weakling scum.
There's going to be another 3-week gap because I'm working the next two Sundays. So there will be another 3-week gap. Sorry. I'm busy. It's the summer. Right. Paul Gobert says...
We always have hiatus in the summer.
Point deducted for Debbie for interrupting Paul Gobert's...
Sorry, Paul.
So minus one.
I'm starting the quiz well today.
Lord Adam, it is I, Paul Gobert, with feedback for the Horns of Nymon. Hi there, 20 megabyte podcasters. I'm back after a huge break for stuff. Going to try and keep up again now, though. You wouldn't have any trouble because we say another 3 weeks' time before the next episode. Right, most of the first two episodes are just silly. I really like Romana. Not as much as Tom did. Graham Crowden is mad as a box of frogs in this. Hilarious. The Nymon costume looks incredibly awkward and spoils any chance of them being a real threat.
Yes.
I thought the cowardly pilot was very good. A bit over the top. I don't hate this, but it only gets watched during the full reruns.
Yeah.
Good to be back doing this again. I've missed it, and it's a great excuse for me to watch some Who. Thanks. Thanks for coming back to us, Paul. We've got this coming up. If I go set up this thing. Oh, sorry, I wasn't playing. Here we go. We're going to do this. I hope it works this time after the last time we had a bit of a...
Hello, 20 Moon Map Podcast.
Weakling scum!
This is Ian Kirk. The Horns of Nymon by Anthony Reid. We have Tom Baker comedy again, as he is meddling with the TARDIS. The story is, of course, based on the legend of the Minotaur.
Yes.
The Doctor claims to have been involved with that as well.
Yes.
Stock Lee chews a lot of the scenery.
Does he?
The Nyman was not impressive, but that was probably due to the usual overlighting. If it was creeping around in dark corridors, it might have been creepy.
Yes.
Janet Ellis played Tika. She was later Blue Peter presenter for 4 years.
Yes. Was it Chicken Tika,
that
though?
That show had a close relationship with Doctor Who. Tika was brave. She was no chicken, Tika.
Oh, shut up.
By no means the worst story of the era. Next time, the Doctor gets a new scarf. Available from Mavazi.co.uk. There was a photograph in the newspapers a couple of weeks ago of a tornado trying to form over the Isle of Wight.
Oh, it did. Yeah.
I think it was looking for Adam.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Bye for now.
Yeah, thank you, Ian. Isn't it great to have Ian back? And the tornado it did come over the Isle of Wight just before the Isle of Wight Festival, but for some reason the sort of national newspapers or whatever try to make it actually happened at the festival. Absolutely absurd.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
What, the tornado?
Yeah.
Wasn't quite up to Mary's standards of tornado. No, to be fair. It was a funnel cloud. Basically.
No, mine was real.
Yeah, it was a real funnel cloud, and it was more like a dust devil, but it was quite dramatic, and yes, it was good. I didn't get to see it myself, but a friend of the show, Roy Spearman, posted a picture of it, and then a few other people posted pictures of it on Facebook, so yeah.
And then it went international.
It did, yeah.
My dad just sent a message, because I just said to Dad, just in a ballpark, Dad, do you remember the second Romana era of Tom Baker's tenure as Doctor Who? And he sent back,
yeah.
I hate to disappoint anyone, but I don't have many memories of her, which probably says a lot. I know she was a Time Lord lady in her own right, but the general level of scripts wasn't brilliant, so there's no discrete memory of any of the story arcs. And that's all my father has written today.
Okay, that's acceptable. But thank you for your father for finally getting round to writing back to us.
Yeah, I've been asking
after
him for
several
ages.
Years, and probably we were actually doing the William Hartnell era the last time he wrote anything back.
I think so. Yeah, I don't think he likes broadcasting his thoughts on things very much, unfortunately.
Okay, well, at least he did on this occasion. We got this bit of audio.
Well, good afternoon.
Oh, for goodness' sake, Andy! Well, we can't hear it.
Oh no.
Because see if I can get it downloaded. While I'm doing that technical stuff, you've got some stuff, Debbie, to
I have, and
impart.
I haven't even looked ahead yet, so I'm sure I'm going to say many words wrong, but in a singularly fun fashion. Right. Nymon says, put your horns on your head, or flight of the weakling scum. Dear 20 megabytes, the horns of Nymon is, of course, a closely studied exploration of the atrophy of a particular operation by overdependence on a single supplier and the predatory power that can bestow upon a malicious actor. Mm-hmm. Adding into this the ruthless abuse and exploitation of proletariat, and we see that in many ways there is an effort here to warn metaphorically against the standard emergency practices of the South African crystalline entities, the Crotons.
Ooh.
It should be noted that while some claim this production is a ridiculous pantomime that demeans Doctor Who, all I can say to that is, oh, no, it isn't. And I reckon you'd be pretty alarmed if you had lost sight of a Nymon and it turns out that it's behind you. We also learn that the very peculiar Doc McCannon started out with bigger ambitions under the name Soldeed, but survived to work with the fifth Doctor who was undercover with King Peladon of Peladon, all as a medical physicians at Lowndes University. All in all, The Horns of Nymon is an entertaining story which cannot be charged with any lack of incident or ambition. The last in a series of stories of highly Greek derivation in successive seasons in Doctor Who's capacity to subsume a very broad spectrum of literary forms all the way back to classical antiquity into its canon. The switch from being a tale about a ruthless and powerful dictator to an alien invasion gives plenty to keep the viewer's interest. I remember loving it as a kid. It does perhaps fill the role of melodrama rather than a more subtle paradigm, but in this respect, the actors certainly step up to the plate and deliver with gusto. David Briley's final broadcast performance happens, and a standout performance by Graham Crowden as Soldeed, sometimes accused of being a criminal act, rounds off a very enjoyable story. This story is perhaps six episodes too short, since if they had carried on, they may have made it to the end of the season, not lost the last story to industrial action.
Yes.
Next up, Doctor Who and the Mind-Sucking Balls of Skagra, or Prisoner, Cell Block Gallifrey. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, Alan T. Butcher, for filling in a little gap for me to try and do some technical skullduggery to make Andy Nunney's feedback actually audible. So I've actually opened it up.
Sorry, what? I regularly butcher your words.
The very new good version of Chada, by the way, is a mixture of the animated and the stuff they shot.
Either way, Kirby, I'm looking forward to it. Right then. Now, like I said, I had to open Andy Nunney's feedback app in this piece of software I used to edit the show. As in, yes, I do a bit of editing on it. It does go out as live, but I do have to edit in the titles in at the end and drop in the odd bit and bits and bobs and take out
any odd swearing.
If it happens, it's a serious problem. I get very cross. Right then, so here's Andy Nunney's feedback.
Well, good afternoon, 20 Megabytes. It's Andy Nunney here. It is nearly 1:30 on Saturday afternoon, and I've just been watching The Horn of the Horns of Nymon. Now, The Horns of Nymon, I think, could be described as an absolute classic. The only problem is, the only way you could do that would be in the similar state I was in the last time I podcasted, i.e. absolutely trolled. Let's be honest, it's absolutely dreadful, isn't it? Graham Crowden, well, he wasn't just chewing the scenery, more treating the whole set as an all-you-can-eat buffet and making sure he got his money's worth. He really was just so ATTT, it was untrue. There were a bunch of neuromantics who seemed to be the tributes, and it seemed to be they were going to save Kronos. Yeah, they had the most wet leader in Seth. He wouldn't even call him a leader. And as for Tika, oh my God. I think you'd treat her throttle her, couldn't you? She was, oh dear Lord. Tom Baker just really didn't seem to be interested in this at all. I think the only bright spot was Lala Ward, who actually seemed to be quite enjoying herself. And I think her look at the end, I think she was kind of just glad that it was all over. Storyline was just, well, was there one? I'm just not really sure there actually was. It seemed to go so blooming slowly. I just sort of, actually, at one point, going doing the washing up and having you listening through the speakers and still didn't really get what was going on. So yes, lots and lots of running down corridors. So the corridors that moved, I mean, that was a new point, wasn't it? So something a bit different there as well. But, I mean, this is quite rightly regarded as one of the low points of Who.
Yes.
I don't know why anyone thought it was a good idea to make this story. It just didn't work. Finally, I mean, I think a lot of people know I stand fairly right of centre, don't do a crazy of a time for trade unions. Now, Sharda, which was the story that should have followed this, got ruined due to industrial action. Why the bloody hell couldn't they have gone on strike and ruined this one instead? Be seeing you.
Oh, Andy Nunney, everybody.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just going to say no to all and close that down so I've got another window. That's it. That's it for feedback. I'll just make sure I'm right with that. Yeah, that's it for feedback. Actually, and emailed feedback. Good. Feedback for Kirby's requests. Crap. Which leads me on to the next feature of the show. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get to This One.
Oh, help.
Okay, now just before I put get open my Trivial Pursuit questions, does Kirby, can he confirm that we haven't done a quiz on Horns of Nymon before?
We have not done a quiz on Horns of Nymon.
Good, so therefore I'll be using these ones.
We've done Horns of
Nymon
before.
Okay, right then, so Mary, who do you think is going to...
You would know if you would look at the...
Be quiet. Mary, who do you think is going to win this Trivial Pursuit Doctor Who quiz? Gone very quiet over in Dayton, Ohio.
Is she there?
She's scarpered because the quiz is on.
Yeah, she does. Check my little Skype window. Maybe they had a tornado and it got their internet down. It looks like she's online,
she
according to this.
She's muted again. She did that
I'm sorry. I had to step away.
Okay. Okay, you just missed out on your question, which was, what is the name of a long-running science fiction TV programme that started in November 1963? Oh, well, but you missed it anyway. So. Who do you think is going to win, Mary?
Sure, that's a tough one for anyone to answer.
Mary.
Seven.
Mary.
What?
Who do you think is going to win? It's a Trivial Pursuit setup.
Oh, well, Debbie.
Okay. Yeah, and Debbie, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
And Kirby. No. Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
You can't vote Debbie. For yourself, River.
Yeah, you can't vote for yourself. That's right.
If we were doing this on Horns of Nymon, I would definitely win.
Okay, right.
Yes,
Mary, who do you think is going to be last? Shut up. Mary, who do you think is going to be last?
I can answer that question for everybody. I think, of course, Kirby is going to lose, and they're both going to say Mary's going to lose.
Yeah. Don't be so sure. I listened to an old episode of our show in which Kirby thought he'd be really clever and let Mary answer all the questions because he was so confident that he was going to win, and Mary won by like 54 points to 17 or something ridiculous. Backfired and in big time. Anyway, for the record, Debbie, who do you think...
Is that when I cheated?
I don't know. No, because you lost. Debbie, who do you think... Deb.
Yeah.
Who's going to be last?
I'm sorry, Mary.
Kirby, who's going to be last?
Mary.
She gets all the British questions.
I mean, we didn't get any other choices.
No, she gets the British questions.
The current scores are in last place with minus 1 point, it's Debbie. In the lead with 0 points each, it's Mary and Kirby.
Master,
first question. Oh, for God's sake. Yes.
The next time that you probably have questions will be for State of Decay.
Yeah, well, I might not do that because you obviously know that.
Didn't I do the questions for State of Decay last time?
I don't know. It was 2014. And Mary won.
Can we get on? Right, first question goes to Mary. What is the name of the place where the 11th Doctor visits his own tomb with Clara Strax?
I know.
Yeah, this is Mary's question. Vastra, okay, and Jenny.
Okay, well, I'm feeling pretty confident, so yeah. I'll play my Joker.
Yeah.
Whee!
Is it a Trenzalore?
Yes, it is.
Bless you.
Right. Next question goes to Debbie.
Yes.
Which historical queen ends up joining John Riddle on his hunts on the African plains? Which historical?
I think I'm going to go with my Joker here and say Cleopatra.
Where's my doodle? Shut up, Kirby. I'll do the women button the yes and no's on this quiz. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I know. I got it wrong.
I know.
Hang on. I'm just going to put a zero in there. And
I got that completely wrong. Yes. I'm stupid. Yeah.
Kirby?
Nefertiti.
I know. As soon as I said Cleopatra, I was like, no, it's not.
That was a bit silly, wasn't it?
I was sitting here. I was going, get it wrong. Get it
right. And I did. I got it wrong for you.
Well, let me jump in here and ask a question. Yeah. Didn't you say that when we play our Joker, if we answer wrong, isn't that like a minus 2 points?
No, it goes into the bonus pot, but doubles the points in the bonus pot for that part of the question. So there's 2 points went in. Kirby then got a point for the second half.
Yeah,
sorry, 2 points for the second half. I beg your pardon. Does that make sense? It does to me anyway.
Yes.
So he got double the points because it was a bonus. It was a Joker question.
I'm such a noob.
And the other 2 points go to the bonus pot. So Kirby, if I got my facts right, this is your question.
Master.
In the Almost People, what substance was a ganger made from?
Gloop. I don't know.
Yeah. That would be a. What's this thing doing? It's going to open up in iTunes at this rate. Nope. Anybody?
Was it wax?
No, it was flesh. I think the title of the episode.
That's right. Because Rebel one of flesh the episode names it.
Yes, indeed. So, current scores are. Not yet. Sorry, we got 4 points in the bonus spot. Big problem before we move on to current scores. Only one Joker left, Kirby.
Yeah.
So, the next question's bonus spot question is this. How many light years away from Earth was the planet Deimos, or Deimos, where the Daemons were from? How many light years away from Earth was that?
Okay. Yeah, give us choices.
Well, it's less than 100,000, but more than 1,000.
The question doesn't have choices. Okay, never mind.
Is it 68,000?
Okay, that's a good guess. Whoever gets it closest will get the bonus pot. So Debbie says 68,000.
How about 35,000?
Pardon?
How about 35,000?
Mary says 35,000. And Kirby?
5,000.
5,000, even though I said it's more than 10,000. Fine. No, okay, so the answer is 60,000.
Wow!
So that doesn't cue starting to eat sweets on it. So Debbie gets the bonus.
I didn't have any. I'm
certain. So, yes, yeah, so that's those bonus points go to Debbie. So that means the scores are in the last place with 2 points, Kirby. In second place with 3 points, Debbie. And in the lead with 4 points, Mary. Next question goes.
Go, Mary. Go, Mary.
Next question goes to Mary.
It won't last.
Yes, it will.
Be quiet. Next question goes to Mary. It's this one. What revolting creature was clinging to the ceiling of floor 500 in Satellite 5?
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa, I don't know. I'll pass it on.
What was he called?
What was it called?
Good grief. I'm going to say you won't get this one. But so if someone does get it, they get double points.
I think I know.
Go on then. No. Are you saying you don't know, Mary, before you say that?
Yeah, I said I don't know. Okay, I've so we'll do that.
A point in the bonus spot. And Kirby?
Max?
Can't give you that, I'm afraid. Because that is not on the card. The answer was the mighty Jagrafas of the holy Hadrojassic Max. Oh, should I give him a point?
Yeah, no, I remember Simon Pegg moaning about having to
Max,
say it.
So Dendrofo Jagrafas will do. Sure, yeah, so it should be Jagrafas, but I'm not going to give you a point.
They calling it Jagrafas, didn't they?
Yeah. See, and that was right on the tip of my tongue.
It was it? Okay. Debbie?
Yes.
Apart from the... Sorry, start again. Apart from appearances in Doctor Who, what musical achievement links comedians Hale and Pace and stand-up Peter Kay?
Is it the comic relief singles?
I'm glad I didn't get one because it's a pretty showing
nope.
one.
Anybody?
Nope.
Of course not.
The answer was they've both recorded Red Nose Day singles.
That's it. It's Comic Relief. Red Nose Day.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was getting confused with the other one. What's the other one? Sport Relief, isn't it?
The Sport Relief.
Oh, go on then, Debbie. Relief. I do apologise.
I remember Hale and Pace going, Comic.
You get the points. Oh. I apologise. You get the points. Yes, all right. Oh, shut up. Okay, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Which Doctor's outfit featured a stick of celery?
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Go on then, carry on, get it over and done with.
Yes.
Why you joking?
Shut up, right? Point deducted for Debbie for coaching. Alright, so point deducted for Debbie for coaching Kirby. And yes, Kirby does indeed get his Joker because. Right, so there. Jokers are all done now. Right, so there's 1 point in the bonus pot.
Ooh.
Which of the Doctor's companions worked at H.C. Clements?
Oh, no.
Go on then, Debbie.
Was it Donna? Got my point back!
So the scores are at the moment in last place with 4 points, Mary, in second place with 5 points, Debbie, and in the lead with 6 points, Kirby. This question goes to Mary. In the ninth Doctor story, Dalek, what is the name that collector Henry Van Staten gives to the captive Dalek? There's a multiple choice. But if you can answer the question without the multiple choice, Mary, you get an extra point.
I'm going to need the multiple choice.
Okay, here are the multiple choice answers. Metaltron, Metalbot, War Machine, or Domatron 3000.
I know.
Jeez. Okay, I'll choose Metalbot.
Wow. Apparently, Kirby knows.
Metaltron.
Okay. Does it? I love saying it in that you're such an idiot. You should have known that sort of voice, doesn't he?
He's so bored with this quiz, you know.
I don't like the Trivial Pursuit quizzes because I tend to lose them.
Yeah.
Not today,
Debbie.
Yeah, today's.
What did Terry Malloy first put? Oh, can I start that? And what year? Sorry, did Terry Malloy? First portrayed Davros. It's a multiple choice, but again, if you get it right without the multiple choice, you get an extra point.
There.
So do you want the multiple choice for two, or are you going to go for it? For
I don't know. Three? I don't know. The multiple choice.
Okay, the years are 1984, 1983, 1986, 1982.
I know.
1982.
Kirby knows.
83.
Oh.
Yep. Oh.
1984 was the answer.
Darn. By the way, he is such a nice guy. I've met him.
Okay, name dropper. You probably
met him too.
Don't get any extra points for name dropping. Although, I could always get into to a convention if we do another one after things I've had to
you'll
put up with this
week. You'll
do
another one, or you're going to burn yourself out so badly because...
No, we're going to do another one. There will be another
Excuse
one.
Excuse me, I've had to put up with quite a lot this week of trying to
He's
put up
a
nice,
lot of grief for
nice,
this,
nice event for people. I'm getting quite a lot of grief from avenues.
It's a ridiculous amount of grief you're getting, and we'll prove them all wrong, so don't you fret.
Mm.
I thought this was just going to be a simple little gathering of fans.
It was.
Got out of hand,
still
didn't
is a, no,
at
no,
this
so
point, I think the guests are outnumbering the fans.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not quite sure that's the case, to be fair. Right, whose question is this now? Was that yours, Debbie, last time? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? So this is Kirby's question.
Master.
In the Talons of Weng Chiang, what is the murderous Mr. Sin, a.k.a. the Peking Homunculus? Is it... That's a multiple choice, and do you want to go for the 3 points to get the...
It's got the brain of a pig.
No. What is it? The multiple choices, or do you want the actual... You're going to go for the answer. It's not going to write down a bibliography of what it is in a tiny space on the back of this card. So it's not going to say...
Give me the multiple choice, because obviously I'm not understanding
okay,
the
Okay, right
question.
Then. The multiple choices are ventriloquist dummy, Mr. Punch puppet, a pantomime horse, or a mannequin?
Ventriloquist dummy.
You never would have got that without the multiple choice,
would
you?
Because normal. I've already had the question like this where it was the pig.
Yeah, but he said in the Talons.
Fine.
Of...
Fine.
Yeah. Right, bonus bot, 3 points. Sylvester...
I was watching part of that one on Pluto TV yesterday.
Oh, I'm really jealous about Pluto.
Point deducted for interrupting me answering the question. Bonus pot, 3 points. Yeah. That's my Saul Deed impression. Right then, Sylvester McCoy, a.k.a. the Seventh Doctor, starred in the movie adaptation of The Hobbit, but who did he portray?
I know. Radagast the Brown.
Says on the back of the card, Radagast, so I'm afraid you didn't quite get it, Raoul Craig. I'm only joking.
Yes, she got it. You know, Pooh.
Did I do a poo? Yes, I did, but that was probably this morning.
I was quoting from the Five-ish Doctors.
Okay. Get any points back.
You know poo.
Anyway, can we move on? I've got another card of questions to do before the end of this quiz. Current scores are, in last place with 4 points, Mary, and jointly in the lead with 8 points each, it's Kirby and Debbie.
Ooh.
This is Mary's question.
Go, Mary.
What race are the Rani, the Monk, and the Valiard?
What is the question again?
What race are the Rani, the Monk, and the Valiard? or species, race species, what you want to do.
Aren't they Gallifreyan?
I'll give you that. It doesn't say that on the card, but that would be
time
too pedantic.
It probably says Time Lords.
It does say Time Lords on the card, but they're the same, innit? Is it? Is that
it's
fair enough?
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Yeah. You got it on the virtually the right lines. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
In which story did Leela of the... In which story did Leela of the Severteam, companion of the Fourth Doctor, first appear? So there's multiple choice again, so it's 3 points if you want to get without me saying the multiple choice answers, or 2 points if you want the multiple choice. So what story did Leela of the 17
Leela of the yeah
what story did she first appear in?
I know
God. I know the name face of evil.
There you
Yay.
go.
I've got my notes there. I did look
yes,
at them.
Yes, it was Face of Evil, yes. Right then, Kirby.
Good.
Well, I didn't even look at the back of the card. It might be wrong. Oh, no, it's not. Right, Kirby. In the Second Doctor story, The Time Meddler, what historical battle is the meddling monk trying to alter the outcome of?
The Battle of Hastings.
Naughty meddling monk.
Yes. No points in the bonus pot for once.
Whoa.
No, and the current scores, with hardly any questions left, are in last place with 6 points, Mary, in second place with 10 points, Kirby, in the lead with 11 points, Debbie. This is Mary's question. It's another multiple choice. if you need it. In what year did the Jadoon make their first appearance in Doctor Who?
On the moon.
You got multiple choice if you want it.
I'm going to say, I'm going to guess.
I think I know.
2008.
Kirby says he thinks he knows.
2007. It's easy. You just go for...
It's easy, isn't it, everybody?
Season 3.
It's easy.
2005, 2006, 2007.
Right. Debbie?
The moon on the moon, yes.
Who are the Sontarans fighting an never-ending war against?
I know.
Oh, everybody.
No.
Is that your answer? Or are you just being silly?
Yes, I am being silly. No.
So what is your answer?
Come on.
No, I can't right now. I can't think of it because I was being silly and now I forfeited my right answer properly.
Debbie, Kirby, sorry?
Yes, it's the green cabbages called Rutans.
Give you a point for that, even though the card says the Rutan host, but I'll give you that anyway. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Mark Gatiss has written and starred in several Doctor Who episodes. Which of the following did he also star in? Oh, God, there's... Right, so did he also star in League of Gentlemen, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea, or Gentlemen Prefer Blondes?
I know.
I'm guessing League of Gentlemen.
Yes, that was most ridiculous question I've had.
Well, no, because I don't think I've seen any of those.
Well, sorry about that. Right, there's one question left on the bonus pot. I don't think it's going to change much. We're going to go for it anyway. Okay. Unless, of course, it's multiple choice, in case it might change something. Multiple choice. I'm not going to ask that one. That's ridiculous. Okay. Which Doctor's outfit featured a cat badge? I'm not going to ask that one. Right? I actually have a cat that Doctor has worn on themselves in my possession. Right then. So it's this question for the bonus pot of 2 points. What was Martha Jones's mother's name? Again, it's a multiple choice. So if you can answer it without the multiple choice, you get 3 points. So,
Jones' mum.
Yeah, Martha Jones's mother. What was her name?
Don't know.
Okay. The multiple choices are Francis, Francine, Francisco, or Franella.
I'm going to go for Francine.
Yay, Mary!
Yay!
Correct. Right then, so there you go.
Speaking of Six Doctor, have you seen the preview for the Trial of the Time Lord Blu-ray?
No, yes. I haven't.
Fantastic.
It's what? Pathetic,
it's
did you say?
It's fantastic. Find the preview.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's fantastic. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing the film yesterday, actually. I'm looking forward to that. That's the sort of film I like to watch. All right, then. So the final scores before the adjustments are in last place with 8 points, Mary in second place with 11 points, Debbie in the lead with 14 points, Kirby. So Mary predicted Debbie to be ahead and Kirby to be at the bottom. Debbie predicted Kirby to be ahead and Mary to be at the bottom. Kirby predicted Debbie to be ahead and Mary to be at the bottom. Oh, blast.
Oh, Mary. Please have won.
Yeah, I think
we need another co-host.
Do we?
Yeah. So make things just a little more...
Yeah, we have more choices. We don't have any choices. You're pretty safe picking me at the bottom.
Or we just need to reevaluate the way we do the quiz.
Yeah.
No.
Stop doing the bottom one.
The bottom one?
The bottom one just isn't fair. Yeah.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Right, so Debbie to win. Hang on. Let me get it. I'm still working it out. You're interrupting me. Kirby predicted Debbie to win. I've lost track of this now. Because you put me right off. Go back. I know that Mary's is right, so you stop putting me off, right? This is riveting for the listeners. I'll go back to being right then. So, Debbie predicted Kirby to win. Right, so that doubles that one. Not to 33, though. There we go. And then, that's right, okay. So, Kirby predicted Debbie to win. And Mary. Yeah. So, the final scores are, finally got there. In last place with 8 points, it's Mary. In second place with 28 points, It's Kirby. But the winner this week with 44 points, it's Debbie.
Yes, I just updated the database.
Don't get any extra points for that, Kirby. Okay, now we're going to go back to the live video feed because Robert McIntyre says, "Hi Adam, watching from San Francisco."
Oh, cool.
Cool. Surely there's better things to do in San Francisco than be watching the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Oh, don't. We're brilliant.
Thank you. Billy Kirk Bright is coming to the Isle of Wight next week.
Yay!
From Australia. That's dedication for you. I might mention to Isle of Wight Radio, actually, that I wonder how many of their listeners have travelled halfway around the world to come and to see them.
I am working quite consistently over the next couple of weeks, so I've told him where I'm at.
Oh, well, never mind. I should be all right. As long as she must be obeyed, lets me do it. Should be okay, though. Yeah, looking forward to that. I'm just a bit worried about whether I can understand what he's saying, though. But
just keep saying great stuff.
Great stuff. Fine. I'm sure Paul Wilson will want to see it. He saw Paul last time, didn't he?
It's going to be so exciting.
You won't see it, you'll be working.
I know, but it gets to pop by.
Yeah. I've got stuff to do.
You can do that now where I'm at. Yeah, I'm allowed to back visitors.
Yeah, vice versa. Okay, let's look at Doctor Who news. I will talk about the FantasyCon news in a minute. So, because it says John Pertwee's centenary celebration on BBC Radio 4 Extra, which involved Sean Pertwee.
I was going to say, Sean Pertwee's actually been approached by Doctor Who.
To do what?
I don't know. We don't know yet. It's just what's been sort of really, you know, leaked is he's been asked to do something. I don't know if it's Big Finish or if it's... if it's actually the TV programme, I'm not sure.
Be good
sure.
If it was to do his dad, wouldn't it? Because he does not look like him now. The older he gets, especially when he wears the wig.
Like him as well.
God, he's a spitting image. I'm sure he can do the voice as well. Doctor Who Magazine 540, which you can buy at Who One over the internet now because they're not a shop anymore, is out with a picture of John Pertwee on the cover. Big Finish plans 20-hour live stream.
That is whoone.co.uk, Kirby. Well done.
It is, yes. Did you hear that last one I said?
No.
Naughty. Big Finish plans 20-hour live stream to celebrate 20 years of Doctor Who on audio. BBC Studios and Big Finish Productions present a 20-hour weekend live stream marathon of Doctor Who audio dramas on YouTube.
Cool.
Over 2 days of the 20th and 21st of July, the official home of Doctor Who on YouTube will broadcast more than 20 episodes of Big Finish audio adventures.
You know, I might put that on in the shop. I'll see if I can put that on.
Featuring David Tennant, Tom Baker, Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, Paul McGann and David Bradley. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that's quite interesting.
It says that while they're playing the stories, fans will be able to join in the conversation via the live chat. Well, wow. I mean, are they talking over the story this
No, there will be, as you stream, you can type.
Yeah, you can type messages.
Oh, so it'll be typed things. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what they mean.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is right.
Hi, everybody, and start arguing with random people.
Which means it's rather appropriate for me to play this trailer.
Coming soon from Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who, The Legacy of Time.
I don't believe it.
Ah, there you are. What kept you? Cocktails?
Ah, this should be interesting.
Doctor! Hey, Doctor!
Who are these strange shouting women?
Archaeologists.
Brilliant. When can we have an adventure?
It's already started.
Whoa, Alison, good work!
We've had a bit more experience since the last time you met us. We can handle ourselves these days.
I can tell.
You must have activated his jetpack.
It'll take him time to get it under control.
I need to link the holes and then pass physically through the breach you arrived through.
That sounds too simple.
No, it's simple enough.
I'll have a couple of men help set up a...
Jake, watch out!
No, Joe!
Get back!
No!
Appear like that before.
Not many
have. I need to get your ship on the same wavelength as mine. Do you mind?
I'm Jenny. Did I say that already?
Hello, Jenny. I'm the Doctor.
What?
What is happening out there? Things live in the vortex.
Vortisaurs. And no, they're usually much warier. I suggest you call a halt to abandoning ship.
The Multihaven and Cybermen in Singapore.
I'm in the eye of the storm. The time storm. Wish me luck.
Good luck.
Oh, he's amazing.
1751. You have no right to be here either.
Release your prisoner and leave.
You think you can threaten us? Oh, yes. You're outnumbered.
And outgunned.
But surely she cannot be the Doctor.
Listen, the next time you need a favor, ask someone else. I have no idea who you are, and I haven't asked you to do anything. Time travel does my head in. Come on, we haven't got all day.
Navigational coordinates reprogrammed.
Dimensional stabilizers engaged.
Temporal buffers online.
Clear for vortex access.
Power levels
are
maximum.
Force fields up.
Dematerialize. Now.
Dematerialize.
Big finish. We love stories.
Cool.
That's wicked.
Yes. Probably won't get to hear it though, but there we go. I'm busy, Kirby, before you try and ask why. Fourth Doctor on vinyl. Following the sellout success of Big Finish Productions' limited edition Doctor Who stories on vinyl, the audio company is delighted to announce another exclusive release in conjunction with Sainsbury's. Doctor Who, Wave of Destruction.
Bit of vinyl, Doctor Who vinyl, cool.
Tom Baker, Lala Ward and John Leeson, future friend of the show, on the Friday the 19th of July will be released as a limited edition run of 1,500 copies. On Ocean Swirl vinyl, only available in the UK in Sainsbury's stores.
Didn't somebody get silly about it being released like that?
Americans angry that it's not available at all.
Yeah, I'm sure if they can buy it off the Brits. So tell them to stop being
stupid.
There's been
quite a verbal dust-up going on quite a few forums about it. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's where it goes. Isn't it? Right, then, BBC Books have announced a new hardback fiction book to tie in with the return of Doctor Who in 2020. Return of Doctor Who in 2020, BBC Books will publish a unique collection of name-dropping historical adventures inspired by Jodie Whittaker's first series as a Doctor. End of Time 10th anniversary screening for US cinemas. Fathom Events.
Yes, I just put it down on my calendar.
Have announced special theatrical outing for the 10th Doctor finale, End of Time, which itself celebrates its 10th anniversary at Christmas.
That's hard for me to wrap my brain around. It's been 10 years.
Indeed. Well, the older you get, the quicker the time passes, I'm afraid. Doctor Who, the collection series 23, or season 23, BBC Studios have announced that the next installment in their collection of remastered Blu-ray Doctor Who box sets, we'll see the Doctor on trial as Colin Baker, friend of the show, and actually he's I think he's been upgraded to family member of the show the amount of times he's
gone. Isn't he like an uncle of the show now?
I think it's family member.
That YouTube video is hilarious.
And he's oblivious to it as well.
If you play it.
Anyway, it's released on the 23rd of September 2019. There's a load of stuff, Lethbridge Stewart books coming out again. New character option products.
You're not going to play the sound of that YouTube video because it is hilarious.
No, I'm not. No. New character option products from B&M stores this summer. The fan of the Doctor Sonic Screwdriver will be able to get their hands on a heritage set of three popular incarnations. Ooh. The new blister pack series will include electronic versions inspired by the 50th anniversary specials of the 10th, 11th and War Doctor Sonics. I don't think I've seen the War Doctors one, actually, to be fair.
I don't think I've seen that one, no.
For action figure fans, Character Options presents a set of three unique Dr. Dalek twin packs inspired the Doctor Who's audio series Big Finish. This includes a brand new take on the 8th Doctor. Ooh, might have to get that. And plus the Dalek, unless it's not a 5-inch figure, which I won't bother, the Dalek Interrogator Prime, as featured in the Big Finish audio book story, In the Garden of Death.
I got specialist Dalek day before yesterday.
You did? The two additional Doctor and Dalek sets to be released from this range will feature the 7th and War Doctors, respectively. Doesn't quite show when they're going into stores, but we'll have to keep nipping in and out of B&M to find them. So if anybody sees anything, let us know.
I'll keep them out. You let me know, and I'll do vice versa.
Yeah, and I think as we talked on previously, the Faceless ones, it's out now, isn't it, on DVD, and I haven't got it yet, so I'll have to get it. So that sort of concludes Doctor Who news. Fantasy Con news. I'll have to
It's not out.
What? Is it not?
No, 2020.
Oh, okay. We'll have to wait till then. I thought something had come out, though, recently on DVD for Doctor Who. I haven't got yet. I can't remember what it was now. Was it Macro Terror?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's one I have to get then, Macro Terror. Right then. So I'm going to review the... Actually, if I go to a website, the FantasyCon website, and that's fantccon.net. Yes? fantccon.net.
What time are we meeting up there on Tuesday?
What did you say?
What time are we meeting up there on
6
Tuesday?
6 o'clock, please pay attention.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, but I forgot to thank you properly for my lovely Character Options Lego setty thing.
He's terrific, isn't it?
Thank you. Sorry, I was a bit busy. I forget to thank people sometimes. It's not rudeness.
That's
it's
right.
Just me being busy. Okay, so news. Okay, so what have we got coming up? I don't know where I got up to. Okay, I'm seeing if I can find her. Oh, David, did I say about David Finn before coming along?
No.
Did I not?
I don't know.
Well, David Finn. Does anybody know who David Finn is?
No.
Okay, David Finn, he's been in Game of Thrones. I did actually share a scene of him,
his death scene
in Game of Thrones, in which he does a fart and then actually does get, to spook the horses as well, he does a fart and then he does get killed by this sort of wolfy thing. He was also in the London stage show, a version of School of Rock. He's been in Spooks, In Between Us, Peep Show, Doctor Who. So, yeah, he's quite an ideal guest to have at the event. And it's his only UK convention appearance because he lives in America. So he just happens to be in the UK at the moment, at that time. So it's quite handy. Hellfire Crafts are going to come along and make some crafty things for geeky, you know, TARDIS sort of ring, what they call the key rings, sort of geeky, you know, handmade things. Cool. Henna designer Tamana will be doing henna tattoos. Surprise, surprise, at the event. Glitter people will do glitter tattoos. We've got Dan Digby, who's the island's top comic artist, who actually does live Facebook tutorials on how to do comic drawing. He also designed Cosplay Girl, which is our mascot.
So is he going to dress up as Cosplay
Girl? Well, she's got most of the costume. I just need to get a C logo for her chest, but she has tried it on. It does fit. She didn't look particularly impressed with it when she put it on. But,
bless her. Well,
yeah, I have had her feedback about this all the way through the whole proceeding. So, yeah, she'll be all right. She didn't like the colour blue. I think it was a darker blue in the drawing, but I think it's because Dan has shaded the drawing quite a lot. It's actually not supposed to be that dark. It's just... the highlights of it are the same colour as the leotard I got her. Catsuit, sorry. But it'll be all right. I haven't got a cape that works yet. And I'm hoping that Laura PC Wilcox will sort out the chest logo for her. Cineworld are coming down to promote their unlimited passes and also get dressed up and have lots of fun and raise money for their charity Children in Need. And we've got... Sparkle Sand Art Bottles, who will also be doing a brilliant nail facility, in which case you actually get pictures printed onto your fingernails, which is a little thing that Roy's thinks that's really cool. I'm getting one. Have you seen on the internet those almost like holographic logos? So it's like a spinning stick, and when it spins really fast, it shows a three-dimensional picture.
Yes, yeah.
He wants to get one of them.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I don't know if we're going to get one of them. And Cal's Illuminated Carnival sets off the evening of our first day. So I'm hoping to get as many cosplayers walking the Cal's Carnival route that evening.
So what is that?
To expend it. What is what?
The Cal's Illuminated
Carnival. It's a parade through the town.
It's a parade. It's a march in with floats and lights and people dressed up
and
in cosplay.
You have carnival queens and princesses from each town.
I'm a bit disappointed that Kirby hasn't noticed that both of my daughters have been carnival princesses and queens during the production of this show.
Yeah, I knew that part, but I've never heard this illuminated part.
It's the same carnival.
It's just
at night, so everything in the carnival is lit up. So the floats lit up, the people wear Christmas lights and stuff like that.
The parades, it's been during the day, so this is new to be at night.
It's not new.
Yeah, there'll be the sort of early evening one will be first, and then a couple of weeks later it's the evening one.
Yes, that's Debbie is correct. But yeah, I'm hoping to do that. Cows Carnival are excited about it. We're excited about it. I'll be knackered. I'll probably try and walk the route. I might actually get an opportunity to cosplay myself, because I won't be able to cosplay during the event. And the other good thing about it
I'm cosplaying with a wig.
Yeah, thank you. The other good thing about it is we can actually go around, give out leaflets for the next day. So people watching the carnival, hopefully we get some good weather, I can give out leaflets and we can get some punters in for the next day. So that's also a really, really good aspect of doing Cow's Carnival for us personally. So that's it for FantasyCon news. The sponsors. Lavazzi. We're already heavily in discussions about getting some stock sent over for the event. I think Melinda's going on holiday, but it looks like about 90% now that we're going to get some scarves directly from Lavazzi to sell at FantasyCon.
Awesome.
So that's all I'm going to say about our sponsors, lavazzi.co.uk. Come to FantasyCon, and then you can get whatever stock he sends me. Just pounds of bees and Fourth Doctor scarves in there. So I said to him, send your best-selling stuff, we'll flog it. So that's
one of the Pandorica scarves.
He's not sending that. He said he's going to send his best-selling stuff, Debbie. Whowon.co.uk. I'm curious to see what they've got now. They haven't got the stress of running a shop. I'm sure it's going to be Big Finish stuff.
Oh, this is cool. I found some video of the Cows Illuminated Carnival.
Yeah, probably shot by me, mate.
No, it says Mark Sipple.
There's probably some eye shot on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Oh. YouTube channel. You're probably
their official photographer.
Moving on. Right then. Alien, this is coming. Stuff coming up at whowon.co.uk. Alien Werewolf in London. God Among Us 3, it's a Torchwood story. The first one was a Doctor Who one. Just War, stock number NA0410, it's a book. Tomorrow Belongs to Us, Not You. If you were really from the future, Miss Summerfield, you would be a nasty. So, nasty, a Nazi. It's about the same thing, isn't it? So that's a novel. Memories of a Tyrant, a Doctor Who, Sixth Doctor audio. And Paternoster Gang Heritage. Was it Paternoster Gang? I did notice while watching episode 4 of Good Omens that there's a cameo from David Starkey.
Isn't it? I had to try and remind Tom who he was.
Yeah.
And I just went, it's a grenade.
Yeah, that was the most Doctor Who referenced episode I've seen so far. There was an exterminate.
I pointed out to Matthew, who apparently is going to put together a list of the Doctor Who Easter eggs.
There already is one.
Well, there's lots of them, but almost none of them. In fact, when I did the research, none of them noticed Dan Starkey.
What?
You have to be a proper doctor.
It's the
mind
time
you,
that I did that.
He's By normally now, got. He's normally. He did actually appear without Sontaran. Dressed in some Doctor Who anyway, isn't he? One episode at least.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly.
Yeah, he was an elf.
Yes, he was. Anyway, other things that are currently available, just released on whowon.co.uk, are Armageddon Factor. It's a CD novel by Terence Dicks. Clockwise War, which is a paperback book by Scott Gray et al. And I already mentioned the Doctor Who magazine 540. So, next week I am filming a stage show for Theatre Train at Shanklin Theatre. The following week I'm filming the Lane Stars show at, I presume it's Trinity Theatre. I haven't actually asked Kirsty yet, but I'm presuming it's there. And that therefore means the week after that, the 21st of July, is when we can record again.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you know, that gives us enough time to watch all 18 versions of Shut Up.
No, shut up. It'll just be the one I've always wanted to watch. Yeah. Really looking forward to watching this new version of Shadow, because it is a bit patchy. You know the story, but the way, you know, they've presented it in the past, it just gets, you know, you get these little scenes, and they're not edited particularly well together because obviously they were limited in what they could do. And now we can actually watch the story as it should have been to a certain degree. So this is about the closest we can get to how it should have been. So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
I've watched it already.
Well, what a surprise. That's acceptable. I don't blame anybody for watching it already, but I really wanted to wait until we needed to watch it, new episode.
I just know something about it.
Shut up, Kirby. You're bound to know something about it because you've watched it. Right then, so sadly, and it is very difficult for me to have to wait three weeks to speak to you again, because in 3 weeks' time we'll have 5 weeks to go to FantasyCon. Laurie Nix has just joined. Funny enough, sorry, Laurie, you mixed it all. But I'd love to know if any of these viewers actually listen to the show. Is it worth me putting it out there as a podcast
Laurie
anymore?
Laurie didn't give us any feedback.
Are you picking on Laurie now? Laurie, Kirby's being mean to you. She's put on a crying emoji. Anyway, right, so that's it for this week, for sadly 3 weeks. I don't really want to be off for 3 weeks, but I have a busy work schedule to negotiate, so therefore... that's the way it goes, disappointingly.
Yeah, for the summer, and then it becomes all regular again over the winter.
And by the time we get to there, we don't have any listeners left at all. Never mind. Still got some diehard fans, and it'll be interesting to see when we go live at FantasyCon how that pans out.
If we can get more
people than crammed into Kirby's little room at Conker Cerberus, that'd be good, wouldn't it? I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, we'll just tell them.
I have a trick up my sleeve, though, to make sure these people show up. What we're going to do, we're going to have short interviews with each of the guests. That'll get them into the bloody auditorium, won't it?
Yes. We did it at Kanji Tea in the big room once, and it didn't work out well.
No, that's because you didn't get any of the guests into it.
I'm talking the year before.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Right then.
When Andy fell asleep, though.
that was legendary. That was still legendary.
Bless we'll him. Never forget that.
No,
that would never ever be old. Is.
That's on my 6-hour montage. I play it at conventions. All right then. So anyway, thank you for listening, watching, and taking part in the show. Sorry about the 3-week gap, but we will return.
Yes. We will return.
Takes a lot to put us down.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye, fancy pants.
Oh, and just after I close the show down, Laurie Nick says, popping in for a sec, lots of lure to all. I was somewhat amused by Nymon, and Romana should have worn that fox hunting outfit as a regular costume. Okay. That's all, folks. Back to work now.
Mm. Aww. Nice to see you, Laurie.
She wasn't here today because she was working.
Yes, it's not a good enough excuse. I'm working. Most of the time.
Yeah, you work a lot.
Right then, that's it then. Bye!
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.